Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home?
Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He.
For His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches.
Positive thought to start the day off with, isn't it? So why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Jesus said it, "Therefore I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than food, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by being anxious can add one cubit unto his stature? And why are ye anxious for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, be not anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Be therefore not anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Those are tremendous words. That's the cure for care, isn't it? Matthew chapter 6. We need to read these words and reread them, because I'm just like you. We live in a frustrated world that is filled with cares and anxieties, and there's a lot of pressure points for all of us, and we need to be reminded that our Heavenly Father knows what we have need of, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, in every way. God knows. And if we will make it our business to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, seek his face. Thou saidest unto me, seek my face. And my heart said, Lord, thy face will I seek. And if we will seek him as we should, God will see to it that our needs are met and supplied, that we have the things sufficient for our happiness. And we need not be anxious about anything. Now, I know it's easy to say that, and it's hard to live that way, but that's God's will. That's how he wants us to live, is without anxiety. That doesn't mean you go away in some cabin on the lake and get away from everything. No, I believe that his peace and his calmness of soul and spirit and mind will work in the midst of your busiest day, when you're having to do the things that you've got to do, down deep inside, the Lord will put that peace. One of the secrets, I believe, is how we start out our day. If you will start the morning in a time of devotion when the heart becomes still and quiet before God, and you stay there long enough until you sense God's presence pouring himself into you, taking out the anxiety and imparting his peace, lifting the heavy burden and bringing the sense of his presence and nearness. And then you leave from your room in that frame of mind and that attitude of heart to meet your day. As the words say, and you hear me quote it often, every morning lean thine arms a while upon the windowsill of heaven and gaze upon thy Lord. Then with a vision in thy heart, turn strong to meet thy day. And I believe that's one of the great secrets of being able to live a happy, victorious, overcoming Christian life, regardless of life's circumstances. It is not based on situations, but it's based upon the promises of God and his faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not, as thou hast promised. You forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful, and he will be right there to help you in your deepest need, your deepest problem. And that's why Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you ask him. And he tells us, don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. And you know, if we can live like that, and it's based not on our human strength, and our ability to rise above things, but is based on our contact with Jesus. To be in His presence, to allow His Holy Spirit to live in us, and to let the power of God dwell within you. As the prophet Isaiah said, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." As we begin to wait upon the Lord in those moments of prayer and devotion and praise, God will give you a pair of eagle's wings and enable you to rise above the storm. And you'll find that up above the sun is shining in its clear blue sky. As we wait upon the Lord, His blessed quietness will fill your soul. Even though you continue in your business and you have to do the things that you've got to do, but in the midst of your busiest schedule, heaven's peace and quietness will fill your heart and soul. Oh, I want it today, don't you? I want it today. Lord, come in your blessed quietness. Fill this heart of mine, the hearts of my friends, as we have devotions together. In Christ's name, amen. And I'm just delighted to have these moments that I can share morning devotions with you and together just sense God's presence filling our hearts and lives. We need that, don't we? We need the Lord. We sure do. Isaiah chapter 32, one of my favorite verses, verse 17, that goes right along with that song we were just listening to, Blessed Quietness. The scripture says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness. And assurance forever." That's what God works with in our hearts. When righteousness takes over, permeates our very soul, and we become surrendered to Him, you can be sure that one of the fruits of a surrendered life to God is that of blessed quietness and peace. Now, let me mention something to you that sounds in total contradiction to everything I've said this morning. And you know, as you read your Bibles, there do come those various topics and thoughts in the Scripture that sound so contradictory. One verse says one thing, another verse says something just the opposite, it seems, but not really so. The contradiction is in our own lack of understanding. Well, I was talking to you about blessed quietness, and I certainly believe in this, and I know that as the heart is surrendered to Christ, He brings that quietness within our soul, and the effect of serving Christ is peace. That's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Well, one Sunday morning, I preached a sermon entitled Blessed Disturbance. Not blessed quietness, but blessed disturbance. And the thought that I endeavored to bring out was the fact that when the Lord disturbs our equilibrium and shakes us to pieces and turns our little world upside down, so often more good will come out of that experience than when everything is just going along so smoothly. Is Romans 8:28 really true? For all things work together for good to those who love God? Absolutely, yes. And in those times of disturbances, God can work His blessings in a way that He can't do when everything is going smoothly. And I'm sure you have experienced enough disturbances in your life. And maybe you feel like Job did in chapter 16, verse 12 of his book, when he said, I was at ease, but He hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for His mark. Do you know how it feels to be the bullseye for God's archers that He uses to shoot their arrows at you? Do you know how it feels for God seemingly to take you by the neck and shake you to pieces? That's how Job felt. And yet good came out of it all. The blessing from heaven came from it all. We love the nest of ease, but God's method is disturbance. Sometimes when there are no changes, and we prosper, and the weather is good, and everything is going just the way I like it, we become complacent and self-satisfied, and God steps in to stir up His people. Blessed disturbances. How does He do it? Well, in many different ways, the Lord can stir you up and keep you from falling asleep spiritually, keep you from becoming complacent and indifferent, and you need a good slap on the face, a good disturbance and awakening. He does it through the preaching of the Word. He does it through revivals. He does it through national judgments, and also through personal visitations like sickness, bereavements, losses, trials, temptations, discipline. Now, can you believe this? That even when bereavements come, when losses come, when hurts come, that those disturbances can bring good in God's blessings in your lives? Not that God wants to hurt us. He doesn't. Because God is love. But in His love, He sees us complacent, self-satisfied, not wanting to rock the boat, satisfied with the status quo, and He comes and stirs us up, just like the mother eagle pushes the little eaglet out of the nest, or it would never learn how to fly. You think the mama eagle hates her little offspring? Of course not. But she does want to teach it how to fly and be independent and be on its own. Deuteronomy 32, verse 11 and 12. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. In the same way that the mother eagle pushes the little one out of the nest to teach it how to fly, even so the Lord stirs up our nest. That's what he did for Israel in Egypt. They didn't realize how happy they were in spite of all the bondage and the oppression, not until they got out into the wilderness and they began missing all those good meals back in Egypt, and the cucumbers and the leeks and the garlic, and they began to long for those good old days. Isn't it surprising how that those miserable good old days can seem so pleasant and wonderful today? But when they got out in the wilderness and they were eating manna every day, they said, "Oh no, manna again? We had it yesterday and the day before. Do we have to eat this again?" Even though it was bread rained from heaven, from God, and man did eat angels' food, but their soul lusted after the leeks and garlic and all the spices and flavor of Egypt. But God's purpose was to bring them into Canaan, into the promised land. He had made that promise to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. And in God's purposes, in order for them to be fulfilled, they could not be satisfied just left in Egypt. They were the Lord's chosen people. They should be living in the land of promise in Canaan. And so, in order to bring them out of Egypt, God stirred up their nest. He made them miserable. He made Pharaoh and the Egyptians to despise them. He stirred up their nest in order to get them out of Egypt, to bring them into his purposes and his plans. God will do the same to us. Surprising how satisfied we become, and everything just rocks along so smoothly. And then in our prosperity, we forget God. It's a shame that the very affluence that God gives us and the very blessings he blesses us with usually are the very things that cause us to forget him. Just like in Deuteronomy 32, verse 15, "But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked." Now, Jeshurun is a poetic name for Israel. "But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked. Thou art become fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God who made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation." Isn't that something? When Israel began to prosper and had plenty to eat and good wealth and success, they forgot God. Now, this may sound hard to say this, but I believe it's true. Sometimes one of the best things that can happen to us is for us to fall flat on our face, all the props be kicked out from under us, and for some deep hurt to come into our life that will totally disturb us and turn our world upside down and make us realize that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Something that will drive us to our knees in prayer. Something that will cause us to lean upon God. Not upon our wealth and our prosperity and our successes and our friends and people, but something that will cause us to lean upon the Lord God Jehovah. And if the trial, if the disturbance that comes into your life will cause you to seek the Lord, if it will drive you to him, then we can say, "Blessed disturbance. Lord, whatever it takes to make me what you want me to be, bring it into my life." Can we pray that prayer without fear? I believe we can, because God won't allow anything to come into your life more than you're able to bear. He already promised that. So you don't have to worry that some gigantic trial and problem is going to just come and sweep you off your feet and you're going to be a goner. No, we have the promise of Scripture that says God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able to bear, but will with a temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And I think that we can pray without hesitation this morning. Lord, I don't want to be self-satisfied. I don't want to be complacent. I don't want to be spiritually indifferent. whatever disturbance it takes to stir up my nest, to get my attention, to drive me closer to God. Lord, I'm willing. Pour it on. And we know that God's grace is sufficient. Jack Holcomb sings a song that goes right along with what I have been saying. It says, "Don't spare me trouble if it will bring me close to thee. Don't spare me heartache. You bore a broken heart for me. Don't spare me loneliness, for I recall Gethsemane. Don't spare me anything that you endured for me. Forgive me, Lord, I prayed in vain that you would spare me grief and pain. But now my blinded eyes are made to see these things were best for me. Don't spare me failure if this is what is best for me. Don't spare me sickness if this will make me call on thee. Don't spare me suffering, for I recall your agony. Don't spare me anything that you endured for me. Don't spare me anything that you endured for me." Dear friend, one of the best things that can happen to you is for God to turn your world upside down and in the midst of it cause you to see only Jesus, that he is the only one who matters, and turn your heart to him.
Don't spare me trouble if it will bring me close to thee. Don't spare me heartaches. You bore a broken heart for me. Don't spare me loneliness, for I recall Gethsemane. Don't spare me anything that you endured for me. Forgive me, Lord, I've prayed in vain that you would spare me grief and pain. But now my blinded eyes can see these things were best for me. Don't spare me failure if this is what is best for me. Don't spare me sickness if this will make me call on thee. Don't spare me suffering, for I
So, dear friend, God knows our tendency to make this earth our rest, and so he disturbs our nest to teach us to rise on the wings of faith towards the enduring realities of heaven. That's why he brings disturbances into our lives. This is John Thrasher. Thanks for listening. I've enjoyed being with you as we share together in devotions. Have a good day. God bless you.